can share here that I might not be able to share to the church at large. And I like to take opportunity. Yes, when you say workers, that's your true membership. It gives us a clue of where we are at and where we're going. There are things you can't share to everyone. Jesus had what he taught the 120. Or better put the 500, like Paul records in 1 Corinthians 15. 500, meet me at Jerusalem. Or better put, state you are indeed with power on high, with power from on high. Then he had what he taught the 70. When he sent them out. Then he had what he taught the 12. When he was teaching the 12, sometimes the multitudes were not present. And they were asking, what were you telling the multitudes? And he said, oh, you two don't understand. For it's given to you to know the mystery concerning the kingdom of God. Then he had what he taught. That he didn't teach all of the 12. He taught just Peter, James, and John. He had meetings with them. They were not private to the 12. Then he had meetings that he had with Peter. Paul said, when the Lord arose, he was seen of Peter. He had things he discussed with Peter. And so, there are different kinds of meetings. And the audience also determines the weight and the depth of what we talk about. And this morning, I'll be talking about who a worker in God's vineyard is in relation to his pastor. This is not something I think I can share to the whole congregation. But I want to believe that every one of you seated here truly means well for me. And truly mean well for our church. And truly mean well for what we are doing for the Lord. Being a worker in God's vineyard is firstly by conviction. It's not because the leadership is perfect. There's no perfect leadership. It's governed by conviction. I tell someone, I say, if you meet Jesus in the flesh, you might not even like him. You know, if Jesus was my pastor, there's no perfect leadership. I was prepared to teach somewhere last year. It was their workers' meeting. And I said, it's all cool and nice that they love me. They love me there. So it's all nice. But you must love your pastor more. You might love me because you're seeing me once in a while. I said, but if you see me every time, that means you will now know my weaknesses because I do have weaknesses. And every one of us do have weaknesses. That is the truth. So imagine you see your pastor, Jesus, because he was hungry and the tree wouldn't dare not bring fruit. He caused it. So if you have not seen your pastor hungry, you probably don't know. Maybe not hungry for food. I don't think I'll react to that. Like that. I think I need to check it. Why I don't get hungry very fast. Amen. Bro David earlier this year promised me that he will ensure that I take breakfast with my wife. I think by now I can say they have failed. They said they were going to ensure that I take breakfast this year. That is the year of breakfast. But when people are vulnerable, things can happen. So there's no perfect leadership. What we have are imperfect people serving a perfect God. So looking for perfection is a joke. Let's talk about serious business here. Because you're not one yourself. So service is governed by conviction and faithfulness. God has called you. But technically, your pastor is the one leading you. A church is only as healthy as the pastor permits. And that is scary. As the pastor permits. So if he wants it healthier, it will be healthier. And if he wants the body sick, the body will be sick. So your conviction is too vital. Are you with me this morning? Your assignment is to be faithful to what God has called us collectively to do. See, a gifted rebel is not an asset. Oh, this person is gifted, but sometimes he does not listen to the leadership. That's not an asset. I'll ditch someone like that over someone who just got born again yesterday and listens. A gifted rebel is never an asset. It will bring ruin to what we're building. Look at what Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. Are you with me this morning? The 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Commit unto able men. Huh? Faithful men. So in service, faithfulness over ability. Commit unto faithful men who will now be able. You can teach a faithful man to be able. You can't teach an able man to be faithful. If he's not faithful, he's not faithful. If he didn't dare, he didn't dare. So ministry and service, what we are doing together. Don't forget, we have explored the role that we are one body, right? I said, if your teeth decides to bite off your finger, it's a mental issue. Amen. Say, and you're crying. Why are you crying? Because the body is not meant to hurt itself. I explained to you last night, Rome did not fall because some very good army attacked it. It's an internal work. Commit unto faithful men. So you must ask yourself, as a worker in God's vineyard, am I actually faithful? Faithful to God? faithful to his church, faithful to my pastor. Because whether you like it or not, you owe your pastor to be faithful. Conviction and loyalty is key. Protect your pastor. Some years ago, I taught on how that we must protect the vessel. The prophet says, Zechariah chapter 13, I think verse 7, he says, if you strike the shepherd, the sheep will flee. They will scatter. Whether you like to believe it or not, it is true. You strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. So, we have a collective responsibility to protect the shepherd as the shepherd protects us. It's our collective responsibility. So you must protect the vessel of your pastor. That's what it means to be a worker. That means you pray for him. You pray. Whether you like it or not, the pastor also has what he's facing. I'm saying this for years to come, because eventually we are going to have pastors and pastors and pastors of pastors. Amen. Amen. I'm not the only pastor in Glorious House Church. We're going to have a lot of pastors. Amen. So I'm saying, in whatever location you find yourself, you see that your pastor protect him. Pray. That's one of the primary ways you do it. Pray for him. Sometimes you can literally see. Pastor just going up and down, up and down, up and down. God, keep him. Keep him. I can see he's tired. Not spiritual tiredness. It's physical exhaustion. Sometimes you come, you minister without exhaustion. And people receive grace. Only the tiredness stays with you. Nobody receives the tiredness. Pray for him. God, I see what's happening with marriages. Keep my pastor. Help him. You know, it's not just, service is not just cleaning chairs. That intercessory role is part of protecting the vessel. And if you protect the vessel, you protect the flow of oil. Cover him in honor. You really want to protect your pastor? Cover him in honor. In verse 25, in verse 17, he says, let the elders that rule well, 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that threshes the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. That means those who teach and labor in doctrine are actually entitled. Of course, we don't practice that here. Everywhere I go to teach, I'm privileged to minister. It's a workers' meeting or a leadership meeting. I tell them, if your pastor is on a salary, he is not wrong. I don't want to be. At least not now. But I tell them, it is not wrong. The laborer is worthy of his wages. But we have a collective duty of showing that double honor to the pastor. Protect him. There are churches that have fallen and have come to nothing because nobody really cared about the vessel. They just cared about the oil. as long as the oil was coming out. It's fine. As long as the anointing flows, as long as there's still word of knowledge, a word of doctrine, as long as there's doctrine, there's hermeneutics, teaching weekends, you're fine. Till the vessel breaks down. John G. Lake, of blessed memory, had a very vibrant ministry, but he passed on at 47, or 37. Had a global ministry, had a healing mandate, crusades everywhere. He didn't live up to 50. Protect your pastor. I'm teaching you practical ways to do it. You pray for him. How hard is that? Not just in church. You clothe him in honor. Honor does not mean flattery. You are the Ndaboski. No, that's not honor. It means to protect, to support. Support him, support his family. It's unto you. Maybe when one day, some of you, the younger sisters, you get married to a pastor and you know what I'm talking about. An elderly minister was talking to me some time back and he said, he thinks the wife of a pastor should be a ministry gift. I mean, this was someone who had been in ministry for about 43 years at the time of talking. 43 years. Some of you are not 43. And he said, he thinks it's a ministry gift. And I understand what he's talking about. You can go to bed together. Check beside you. 2 a.m. That's my wife. You don't see me anymore. What happened? Someone came to my mind. I have to pray for you. There's a study. You understand? And you have to quickly, when it's fresh like that, you have to quickly cook it. Amen. Let me quickly cook this one. I'll go to bed later. Brother David is very familiar with me. When I go to bed early, we're talking about, that'll be around past 1 to 2. Early. Today I'm not doing much. And that goes year long. We have the same lungs. Amen. It's not like God now gave me 3 lungs. Because you're a pastor, you need to breathe more. No. Support him. Protect him. If your pastor is under financial pressure, I'm saying these things for more than now. Your pastor is under financial pressure. Okay. You can't really focus on spiritual warfare. Have you been under financial pressure before? Do you know what financial pressure is? If you don't have a roof over your head, or the roof over your head is being threatened, or you don't have food to eat, we thank God that's not the case. Amen. I'm just saying. The vessel will leak. He can't focus. Can't focus on spiritual matters. Honor him. He says the laborer is worthy of his wages. He calls it double honor. Double honor means whatever honor you give to another, for your pastor, you double it. And before you think, why? He said, he is worthy of it. That's if he labors in word and doctrine. Celebrate your pastor. Defend them. Speak well of them. The sonar is a slow poison to any vessel. Are you listening to me? A worker who defends his pastor, who protects him, is the greatest asset of any man of God. That is the greatest asset. His workforce. So you believe in your pastor. You protect the vessel. Because if you strike the shepherd, the sheepfold will scatter. Amen. You know, being a worker is not cheap. It's not. It comes with these responsibilities. The same way Paul would like the responsibilities of a pastor, a bishop, right? Must be able to teach. Husband of one wife, the one that rules his house well, puts his children in subjection, right? Must not be a wine bibber, a gossip, a drunk. He mentions everything the pastor ought to stand for. I'm not giving you the responsibility of a worker too. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1, we are co-workers in God's vineyard. Because we are co-workers with Him. With Him. So protect the one who labors. If the pastor's family suffer, the ministry will bleed. It is the simple truth. Some months ago, I was talking to someone who was a pastor's kid. I don't think I can call him kid anymore. The man is 46. So we're just talking. He's someone I'm close to. So he said, I saw my dad suffer. Of course, he's wealthy now. I said, wealthy. He said, I saw my dad suffer. The church will do nothing. They don't care. I could feel the pain in his voice. In fact, I had to quickly add it to my notes as he was talking. And some of you must have met pastor's kids like that. They just say, what concern me? He's the one that is the pastor now. It's not like there's anything. Because they don't feel loved. Whether you like it or not, there are things a pastor cannot do because he pastors. And it's not sin. I just mean, there are entitlements that should be done, that can happen, that should be able to happen. But I look at it and I say, nah. And I'm depriving my family of the same. And they did not beg to be pastor's wife or pastor's kid. They just wanted a family. And to whom much is given, much is expected. I'm not saying worship me. Don't worship me. We'll never get to that place in the name of Jesus. What I'm saying is, protect the vessel. I know what I'm saying. Follow the leadership with joy. See, shield your pastor from unnecessary drama. Like, protect that energy. Let him be able to use the energy on something more productive. Protect their boundaries. See, burnout does not make anyone more holy. It makes them more vulnerable. Teach year long. Week in, week out. It's not week in, bi-weekly in, bi-weekly out. And someone does that a whole calendar year. That's aside special meetings. And you know, it's not lecturer work where you've got a curriculum. You don't need to study. There's a curriculum. If you understand your field, you start teaching. This one, you pray. Lecturer does not need to pray. Amen. Whether he prays or not, the message will be passed. You know, you pray. You settle dispute. You study. Amen. You study. Maybe one day, I'll bring someone to where I'm studying. Just sit down. And we're asking questions together. So, let's go again. Let's read it again. And by the time you read 1 Timothy, like 18 times, I said, now let's start the study now. So, what do you think? This is Moses, right? You can't only read 18 times. Only read anything. Well, that's the average life of a pastor. That's the average day. But David works with me. Sometimes you just see me, I lock myself in the office. And even look at me and say, go away. He knows. He will knock and say, go away. I want to sleep. Talking at 3 p.m. And they sleep 30 minutes. I'm out again. Why were you looking for me? If you will live long as a pastor, you will need people who will protect you. I don't mean bodyguards. I mean, who are willing to protect your time, energy, and boundaries. Like I said, I'm saying this to the workforce. I'm saying this to the workforce. These are not things I can say in any average service. But I believe that you get it. Nothing protects a pastor like a mature member. Grow up. All this unnecessary drama, they take energy that can be used for something else. Pastor, sister so-so-so and sister so-so-so are not talking. Apa. Now, it sounds stupid, Abby. Imagine that's what you keep putting your energy into every day. And you still have to go back to study. It makes no sense. So you do your own role. I will not be the reason why pastor will be staying up all night thinking. Amen. Asking God to touch your heart. Kilo did she both touch him last week? Show for one. He touched your heart last week. Only your own heart. God don't touch him like 4 times. In the space of one day. Some of you, the prayer request that comes to God on your behalf. God is saying, I just answered. So this man is praying for you, this man is praying for you. On one thing, conduct, why? And baby, why? Che woni koni. Be a kwak boko je. Often protects the pastor more than a mature member. We submitted and joy-filled. And we have a joyful congregation. It gives us the leeway to do more. To honor your pastor is to honor God. Protect him. Honor him. Shield him. Shield him. Thank God for the leadership. There are some things I don't get to hear about. You know, we want to raise this money. There are some things I don't get to hear about. And I like it that way. Amen. you know, let me be able to focus on how we can grow better. Amen. How we can progress in our teaching and hermeneutics, doctrine. That's a better investment of energy and time. Are you listening to me? God will help us, all of us. As I said, being a worker is not cheap. You are the real MVPs. You keep the church moving. It's not cheap. Every one of you, I want to believe, you have your natural work. Tomorrow is no public holiday. You're going to work. So it's a sacrifice, being here over the weekend. I understand that. I see it. God sees it. But if we want to develop as a community of believers, we would have to work together. The Yorubas have a saying. They say, Owo lafin wewo. Eh? Taba fo owo wewo. O ma shekini. O ma mo. Let me explain. Hold this for me. Give it to me. That is, if I take water, if I use this hand to wash this hand, this one too, we wash this one, right? That's how it gets clean. Not like this. Watch your elderly ones at home. This is how they wash. It's Gen Z. Oh, we're laughing. We're war. The ant must wash the other hand. That means, as the pastor is laboring over the church must labor over the pastor. Paul said, pray for me too many times that it has to be a sin not to pray for him. He told the church in Rome, in Romans 15, pray for me. The church in Corinth, pray for me. Church in Colossae, pray for me. You've got to just pray for him. That is Paul. I don't think I've walked in half of the grace Paul has walked in. Or Paul walked in. And he's someone that saw the Lord Jesus face to face. Got his assignment first hand. He's telling you, pray for me. I thought Jesus sent you. I thought you saw him on the road to Damascus. He said yes. I thought he gave you a ministry to the Gentiles, Acts 26. He said yes. I thought you have more grace than all the apostles put together. You labor more than them all together. He said yes. And he says, pray for me. Ha. Then you know your pastor needs prayer. Pray. Pray. When last did you intentionally go out of your way to support your pastor? What exactly do you labor? What's your own labor? For the pastor, not for the church, for the pastor. What do you do? There's a sister among you that gives me a pack of bottled water every month. And, you know, it's such, you might be thinking, bottled water is such a gesture. As thoughtful, I think. It's thoughtful. That means he has just thrown, okay, at least a supply. Every joint supplies. Supply water. Pray for me. Oh, laughing way more. Laughing way more. Are you listening to me? And I trust God for Glorious House Church. I will grow in leaps and bounds. I trust God. I really do. So, we have to grow up fast. Remember when I lost my mom? One of the things someone told me said, you have to grow up fast. Meaning, you might think you're young. Because I was young then. Yeah, but you're the first. So that means you have to grow up fast. You can't afford to think your age. I understood the assignment. When God gives you a vision such as this, some of you don't see where we are going yet. You should be seeing it. But I can see it clearly. It's no small assignment. And when God gives you something like this, you have to grow up fast. You have to catch the vision early. We started having calls from other countries on JT Media. You know, like Jesus, when he said the time has come, I knew things were opening up and shaping up already. Funny enough, it has not started. The real work is yet to start. We are gearing up towards it. We are preparing towards it. When it starts, you will know. You will know. You will know. And we receive that all God has in stock for us. And we work in the fullness of His plan. His vision fills our hearts. His dreams burns in our hearts. We are strengthened for the work ahead. The wisdom of God is ours. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We work in wisdom and direction. Every one of us strengthened by His Spirit in our inner man. To please Him who has called us. And as He called us, we will be agents of that call to many more. We will rescue men from darkness to light. We will snatch men from the hands of death. We will snatch men from the doors of hell. Many more will yield to Jesus because of us. We will make more men know Him. We will make more men love Him. We will make more men serve Him. You will be an instrument of grace. And grace to many, many, many others. Old and young, they will listen to you. Amen. You'll be fruitful. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you'll be fruitful. Amen. The prophet says, none shall be called barren in my house. The fruitfulness of the ministry is yours. Amen. You will not suffer loss. Amen. The Lord will make you glad. Yourself and your family. Amen. You will walk in rest all of your days. Pray for yourself this morning. Oh, how I, you come running. Run the mountain. You are. Pray for your church. We've been here for some time now. Pray for this one body. It will not be a thing of the past. None of us will drop the ball. We will not backslide. Serving Jesus will not be in the past. The fruitfulness that comes with a meeting, the blessedness that comes with listening to God's word, you will experience it. In your ministry, in your fellowship with God. For those trusting God to break off shackles of addiction, the word of God will work. You will outgrow the yoke. Are you praying for yourself? We are drawing the curtains. Lord Jesus, the blessedness of workers meeting is mine. Till next year, I'll keep the fire burning. This will not be my last. I stand in my office in the body of Christ, and I minister with boldness for the edification of the body. I'm not bitter, envious, malicious. No. I'm a child of God. I'm not a cancer to the body. I supply my part. And I'm growing and growing every day. Every part of the body is the body. I am part of the body of Christ. I function in the graces of the measure of the gifts of Christ in my life. And I see the fruit of it in my ministry, in my family, in my natural work. I see the hand of Jesus all over my work. For my work, I see his hands. All over my family, I see his hands. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The peace of God is ours. Our health sound in the name of the Lord Jesus. The grace of God will manifest all over my work. Paul says, yet not I. I didn't actually labor like that. It's not me that labor like that. Grace of God. It was the grace of God all over my work. So I labored one and all of them put together, but it's not really me. Grace makes it easy. Easy to do God's will. Easy to be what He has called you to be and to do what He has called you to do. Grace makes it easy. I walk in grace. Minutes more. Draw the curtains. I'll be a source of comfort and encouragement in my church, in my cell, in my unit. A son of consolation. A child of comfort. I'll be the reason why the church is growing stronger. While his temple is filled with praise, I'll be a source of that. Of why men are yielding to the Lord Jesus the more. I begin to understand my calling better. I begin to see with the eyes of Jesus. Dream with his heart. Ears with his ear. Ear with his ears. I take my place in the body. Stand in my office. With boldness, conviction, faithfulness, and loyalty. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. The glory cloud is here. Power.